When Stephen Milhauser was a kid back in the 1950s, he used to come to the museum on field trips. He grew up in neighboring Stratford.
Bridgeport was the big city, and the big city had lots of things in it, including the Barnum Museum. The first thing I remember is a very strange building that looked like a castle because it had rounded towers and turrets and point. It didn't look like any other building on the block at all.
Milhauser is a Pulitzer Prize-winning fiction writer, and decades later, he revisited the museum, or a highly fictionalized version of it, in a short story.
I wanted to write about an impossibly vast building. It has to be a museum, and it has to be full of dubious things.
Kids are still coming to the Barnum Museum, but right now, the museum's dubious things and indubious things are in a storeroom behind the People's United Bank building. It's the only space they've had since the tornado, and it's packed. There's statues of Barnum, circus carts with the Barnum & Bailey logo, clothes belonging to 3'4" circus star Tom Thumb. In the dubious category, the museum's recently added the skeleton of a centaur. During his lifetime, Barnum took the circus on tour. Then in 1893, at the end of his life, he built this museum to house his wonders for future generations. Milhauser was one of them.
We were told a little bit about Barnum. Everybody knows something about Barnum. I don't know if as a child I knew that Barnum was the mayor. You knew that Barnum had to do with strange things like mermaids.
It's Fiji mermaid. I love the expression on people's faces when we show it to them.
That's tour guide Marion O'Keefe. She's pointing out an ugly mummified creature behind glass, one of Barnum's most famous wonders. He called it a mermaid, but it's really a mishmash of other animals stitched together.
Head of a baboon, body of an orangutan, tail of a fish. And watching the people look in, I'm thinking, this is what people were looking at 150, 60 years ago, and their reaction to it, what would they have thought? Once they got over the horror of looking at it, they found out there were a lot of rooms in the museum to look at.
Chandeliers and rugs, globes, circus posters, and antique furniture. One of Barnum's beloved circus elephants, appropriately named Baby Bridgeport, preserved in the lobby. The dress of opera star Jenny Lind. Barnum called her the Swedish Nightingale. A 4,000-year-old mummy. It's been tested. It's real. All spread across three floors.
Nooks and crannies and turns and twists and things to look at all over the place.
A miniature circus.
And it was fun. The kids would see little trapeze artists going up and down, and the music was playing.
And the music played for decades.
Then we got hit with a tornado. In 2010. Talk about a game changer.
That's museum director Kathleen Marr. She remembers walking in past broken windows and debris on the morning after.
Holy cow. Every artifact was blanketed with tornado grit and grime.
This wasn't the first time disaster struck a Barnum building. Actually, back in the 19th century, it was kind of disturbingly common. His Bridgeport mansion was this architectural wonder called Iranistan, topped with onion-shaped domes. It burned down. Two of his big performance halls burned down. His big flagship New York City Museum burned down. Twice.
It just goes on and on, so why should we be exempt from that legacy?
Kathleen Marr says the museum had to deal with broken glass and water damage.
So when that happens to a 4,000-year-old mummy, it's a desperate situation to save the artifacts.
25,000 artifacts went into storage or got sent for restoration work. Up on the third floor, the rooms are empty. That miniature circus is all packed up and put away in boxes. You can see Barnum's trademark dome through a hole in the ceiling. There were holes in the floor, too.
The engineers had to get in to the building and find out structurally what went so terribly wrong when the tornado hit. We've revealed the dome has shifted. So it's raw. It's raw, raw space.
And it's prime for reimagining. They've hired a firm whose clients include places like the Abraham Lincoln Museum, but also the Universal Studios theme park. They've got an artist's rendering. It shows kids and parents wandering through something that looks like a Victorian library. Leather-bound books, chandeliers, Persian rugs, all bathed in stage lights, with a family looking at a hologram of an opera singer.
Some people say, it's a little too Disney-esque in a sense, but that's, for us, that's exactly what Barnum would have done.
He was a showman and a visionary. This is a historic landmark, but it's got to keep up with the times. A newer, shinier Barnum Museum could do that.
So we get hundreds of thousands of people coming to downtown Bridgeport to experience this. And when they leave more curious. They leave more enlightened. they leave illuminated.
O'Keefe, the tour guide, says it'll be better than ever.
And when they finish it this time, it's going to look more like Bonham wanted it. This is part of the rejuvenation. People will come here from California. I've had people from South Africa. I've had people from Turkey, from Italy.
For we are restless. Already we are impatient to move through the beckoning doorways.
Author Stephen Milhauser is reading from his 1990 short story, The Barnum Museum.
Which lead to rooms with other doorways that give dark glimpses of distant rooms, distant doorways, unimaginable discoveries.
It's a matter of years until the museum can show all its wonders to the public again. They'll need to raise a lot of funds first, and that takes time. Until then, visitors will make do with a storeroom behind a bank, and those dark glimpses of distant rooms.
And still the hurdy-gurdy plays, the juggler's bright balls turn in the air, somewhere the griffin stirs in his sleep. Welcome to the Barnum Museum. For us, it's enough. For us, it is almost enough.
Davis Donovan, WSHU News.